Hi, I'm Dino Tripodis. What do you do when you got four moms that can rock? You start a band. Amy Belwanzo and Trashetti. That's right. Tonight on Whiskey Business. Hi, I'm Dino Tripodis, and welcome to Whiskey Business, the podcast not so much about whiskey as it is one with whiskey. I was in a high school band. You were in a band, Hansberry?
Oh, yeah.
High school band?
High school band, but we kind of were able to keep going through college a little bit, too.
Right?
Yeah.
So did we.
Yeah.
Except ours was a Greek-American band.
Ooh.
We played Greek music and American music. We played every baptism, every baby shower, every wedding in the tri-state area.
Nice work.
And we kept the band going through my freshman year of college, and then somebody got up and decided to leave the band.
Was that you?
That was me.
Imagine that. The difficult one.
And musically, I've had some other things that I did afterwards. I hooked up with a guy from that band, and we did a duo. But the music part of me has gone away, and I think it would be very cool to start doing it again at 63, right?
Yeah.
No, it wouldn't be cool.
You're never too old to rock and roll.
Are you?
That's right.
I don't know, but that's the question that we'll ask, because our guest tonight is Amy Belwanzo, who is part of the group Trashetti. First of all, hi.
Hi.
You come on a very auspicious occasion.
Woo-hoo.
You have no idea. We met at Randy Malloy's 30th anniversary, and I found out about Trashetti, and I said, you want to do the podcast? And you said, yeah. You said, hell yeah. Your real job is you're the VP of Marketing and Business Incubation and Innovative, what?
It's the Business Incubation and Innovation Center.
Center, okay.
Well, we just call it BIC.
You call
BIC.
It?
Yeah.
Okay. Like the pen.
Right.
But two eyes, exactly.
Okay.
And the name of the company is?
ECDI,
Economic and Community Development Institute.
Correct.
It all sounds very fancy.
A lot of letters.
Very fancy and sounds very formal.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in the marketing department, or you are the marketing department.
Yes, I have other people too, but I lead them.
You lead them?
Yeah. I started the department.
You lead them down a path?
I try.
Yeah. You like that job?
I do. It's been really cool. I actually started during the pandemic, and we're basically a small business resource center. And we help entrepreneurs that are generally sort of underserved, underfunded by traditional systems. So especially during the pandemic, it's just been, you know, a whole lot of need. We've ended up becoming the number one SBA lender in the country.
Wow.
Micro lender, sorry. Because there are just so many entrepreneurs that need help. So it's very rewarding to be able to.
So could we be considered entrepreneurs with our podcast? Can we get help?
Probably. If you have a good business plan and you know.
Oh, yeah.
Not so much.
First of all, business plan.
We can help with that.
Good business plan.
Good anything.
It's not as easy as it sounds.
No, probably. It isn't as easy as it sounds, but that's what you do during the day.
That's my day job. That's
your
right.
day job. But at nighttime,
I rock.
You rock.
Yeah,
and
I
before
try.
We get into all of that and find out more about, because I was completely taken with the fact that Trashetti is you and three other moms.
That's right. All moms all the time.
All moms all the time that rock out to, and you write your own music, right?
Mm-hmm,
play
of course.
Your own stuff.
The only way to do it.
The only way to do it, even though you are in a cover band as well.
That's right.
We'll talk about that a little bit later on too, but we're in for a fun night of conversation to find out how Trashetti was birthed and developed and where they are today.
She's got her guitar hooked up in the other room.
I don't know. Do you play guitar in the band?
I do. Yeah, I play guitar and sing. Which brings me to my next question. What did you play in your Greek American band?
I sang.
Okay. Ooh. So you said Greek American is like some kind of Dick Dale shit?
It's like a bouzouki. The bouzouki is the string instrument. Yeah, that's Spiro played the bouzouki. Tony Majanis played drums. We had one, Doug Hale played keyboard, and also he could just play.
You do whatever.
Yeah. And I sang with Spiro, but I was the lead singer. And you are here on a very auspicious occasion, as I did mention. This is our 200th bottle on
Woo-hoo!
Whiskey Business.
Yes.
Yeah.
Our 200th bottle on Whiskey Business. I'll tell you more about the guest bottle as soon as Hansberry does a little bit of the business, and we look forward to a delightful conversation with Amy Belwanzo. That's an odd last name. That's why and you told me a story about it. We'll get to that as well, because it's interesting. Hansberry, the business go first. Ahead. Whiskey Business,
is the podcast not so much about whiskey as it is one with whiskey.
There you go.
If you're listening on your favorite podcasting app, thank you very much for stumbling on us. And smash that subscribe button if you haven't already. And every time we get a new episode, it'll auto-populate. And write and review for us if you can, too, if you get the opportunity.
Give us 5 stars.
Five stars.
If you're listening, you also...
yeah, 5 stars. Someone give, when they do like 4.5, I'm like, really?
Just round up.
Do 5.
4.5. I didn't get out of bed to come here for 4.5 stars.
That's half-assed.
But if you are listening on your favorite podcasting app, don't forget we have a YouTube channel, YouTube with Whiskey, Whiskey Business with Dino Tripodis on YouTube. Yeah. And Johnny, John Whitney does a great job editing and posting the YouTube video. Smash subscribe.
I'm not good at posting.
Kids say smash
you
it.
Are.
Smash it. Smash and follow. We're on social media, Whiskey Business on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and WhiskeyBusinessPod.com is our website. Is our list of bottles on the website?
No, but we probably should do that. You should let me take that and I'll type it out and then post it.
Yeah, we can just take a photo of it. I feel like this writing needs to be shared with the world.
Yeah, we'll post this on the social media, so if you can read through Dino's scribble, you'll have an idea of what 200 bottles we've tasted.
Yeah.
And thanks to our parent company, Evergreen Podcast.
Yes.
Evergreenpodcast.com. We encourage you to go to their website and snoop around and find.
They've got a brand new facility that they moved into recently. We've been invited to go up and check it out.
Let's do it. They're from based out of Cleveland, Ohio. We are in Columbus.
Is social media a huge part of what your marketing is with ECDI?
It is. We didn't really have a consistent social account when I started, so that was one of the things that knocked down. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But another person contributes to that. I can't claim the credit.
Mm-hmm. It's a full-time job. I mean,
do you like social media?
In which context?
Any context. I mean, as far as business, you're going to say you like it. It's necessary. It's needed.
It is.
But do you like social media?
So I am old enough to have kind of like witnessed the advent and been around when it was like, oh, this is so cool. Look at this. I'm chatting with my friends. And I, reconnected with some friends. Since then, I feel like I've seen a lot of just crappiness out of it. Yeah. So I've reduced my social media use just to not get caught up in the,
in the bullshit.
In the shit. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So
it's easy.
It has good points. Yeah. It's good in theory.
I mean, the most I've ever been involved in social media has been once we started this podcast. Mm-hmm. I got an Instagram account and a Twitter account, which I don't pay attention to the Twitter account. But Instagram, I've been pretty good with Instagram.
You've been doing all right.
Yeah. But then he does the Facebook, and you do the Facebook, right?
Well, he does the Facebook, but what do you do? I nothing really.
Okay,
he puts in the tinkly glass transition.
Yeah.
Very valuable.
He's the audio producer.
I outsource it. I hire some kid. I have an intern, unpaid intern, to do all the work. So I leave here.
God, that would be great.
Send off the audio. So I don't know what the hell what happens after that.
Yeah, I mean,
get it back. Sounds good.
Yeah, okay, great job.
It's necessary in this day and age, I know, but it's also a nasty double-edged sword that cuts both ways.
Right.
I'm sorry to say. Mm. Now, this we call it our guest bottle.
Mm.
You know, we have our guest and our guest bottle. And Johnny was like, "Are you sure we haven't had this on here?" I go, "No," and I tell you why. This is the Willett the Pot Still. Whiskey, the 94 proof Willett bourbon in the pot still bottle.
Yeah.
Or what we like to call sometimes the I Dream a Genie bottle.
Mm-hmm.
If you rub this, no genie will come out. That'd be pretty cool, though.
That would be
a
nice,
bourbon genie came out of this.
Could drink enough of it, maybe.
If you rubbed it and could grant you 3 wishes. If you had a genie come out of a bottle and granted you 3 wishes, what would they be? What would the first one be?
Oh, you asked me too quick.
I know.
Magic carpet ride.
Yeah. See, you already blew one.
And I can't say more wishes, right?
What?
Can't say more wishes, right?
More wishes? That'd be smart.
Well, that would be...
That's one of the rules you can't do.
Yeah,
right?
I think that's a rule. I think there's some sort of a genie bylaw.
Yeah. And I don't think you could kill anybody, according to Aladdin, is the other one. Yeah.
So I would just... I mean, I'd wish for a whole bunch of money and that I could just... An endless supply of money is what I wish for. Not a specific amount, but just like infinity.
Yeah.
So I could share it and cure things and fund research to... cure diseases and end wars and all that. And also party and have fun.
There you go.
End wars, huh? It's too much money in that. You're not going to do that.
But see, some of those like party and have fun, I wouldn't put that as a wish because if you had the infinite amount of money, it goes without
that,
saying.
It covers that.
You can do whatever you want.
It wasn't a second wish. That was what I would do with the first wish with the endless amount of money. Then the second wish would be perfect health for me and my family and everybody I know forever and ever.
That's us. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys count.
Now we know her, so we're in that circle.
Would you want to live forever?
I don't know that I would want to live forever.
What if you could get to a certain age and like, okay, I like the way I look, I like the way I feel, and just stop.
Stay right there
and then, but continue to live. What if you could do that?
I would totally do that, and maybe I would have like an out, you know? I'd have like a trap door or something that when I was...
A kill switch.
Yeah, a kill switch.
You got tired?
A kill switch. Tired of life on this mortal coil, then there's the kill switch.
It's like a vampire, though. They don't age, and then everybody else dies around them, and then you watch your grandchildren
grow older than you and die.
That would suck after
eventually it would really suck. So, yeah.
You know, how old was Methuselah?
I don't know.
He was hundreds of years old, supposedly,
I don't know. Let me
call
my church-going mom.
Yeah? Oh, you have a church-going mom?
I do. She's lovely.
You come from a religious family?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what's the religion? Is it Catholic?
So, no. Her family, they were kind of like Southern Baptist. They, come from a musical family. So her dad was in a Stamps Quintet. So
Stamps Quintet.
Right. So you ask. So a barbershop quartet has four male voices and whatever the parts are. It's like bass, tenor, you know, the male parts. Not the male parts, but the male voice.
The
parts.
Male vocal, gotcha.
Yeah, okay. Male vocal ranges. And so then a Stamps Quintet, I think there were two female and three male parts.
Oh, so you had female voices, basically.
Yeah, so there's alto, soprano, and then tenor, bass, and I don't know, whatever would be the other one, contrabass? I don't know.
Right.
Whatever it is. So, they toured and they did a whole bunch of revival shows. And my mom remembers being like passed around laps as like, oh, my grandpa would get up and perform and somebody else would hold her and they'd switch off. And it just sounds like kind of a fun childhood.
So, yeah, it does.
Yeah.
And so you were around music all your life.
Yeah, they didn't do anything like that, though, by the time I came along. We went to Methodist church when I grew up, so... she kind of moved on, I guess.
You mentioned something interesting when we met and you gave me your card and I was pronouncing your name and you said it was a combination of names.
It is,
Belwonzo is...
Yes, so his last name is Bell, my last name is Wonzo, and when we were getting married, he had the very evolved idea that like, everybody's always called me Wonzo my entire life.
Sounds like a nickname.
Yeah.
It's fun to say.
Wonzo.
Yes.
Hey, Wonzo. What's
right,
up?
Like Wonzo.
Right.
It's a fun name.
The Mighty Wonzo.
Yeah.
We'll be performing later.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, there's like a drinking game in my hometown where you shout out Wonzo after you drink. But
I want to play.
Yeah, let's go.
We can do Wonzo! That now if you want. Yeah. So it's always been just, I don't know, kind of part of my identity that like, it's more like a greeting, you know? So he thought, well, why should you have to lose that part of your identity just because you're getting married? Let's combine it and make a super name. But it couldn't be Wonzo Bell because that sounds too much like Taco Bell. So we went with Belwonzo, which sounds like...
It does.
He changed his name too?
That was the plan.
Sounds magical. Belwonzo sounds magical.
It does. Yes. Neither of us officially changed our name because we went to the courthouse to like file the paperwork, you know?
Right.
You know what you have to do? And they said, well, you can change your name, lady, but you, man, cannot change your name without standing trial.
That's bullshit.
Right. That's what we said.
That's old school bullshit.
So we both were like, fuck this. Fuck the patriarchy. And like stormed out of the courthouse. And
did you, storm?
Know.
Did you actually storm out?
We did. We stormed. We stomped. We got all pissy.
We stormed out. And people really storm out.
We like grabbed some papers off of just a nearby counter. We just like threw them.
I like that.
Flipped a table.
We got some white cards and some big magic markers. We're coming back.
Yeah, exactly. But so we said, well, you know, screw this. That's bullshit. Maybe before we have a kid, we should change our name. You know, so we'll all have the same family name. Nothing will be weird or questionable. But our daughter's 7, and we
still haven't done it.
Either. Neither of us, yet. Okay. Yeah. So that's what we go. We each go by Belwonzo, but legally, it's
7-year-old daughter.
Uh huh. Lola.
Lola, great name.
Lola Lucille Belwanzo.
Wow. Lola Lucille Belwanzo. Man, great that name. Is awesome. Yeah. Lucy she's destined for great things.
I think so.
With a name like that.
Mm-hmm. She's a funny kid.
Well, I mean, she's got an interesting, funny mom. Has your husband got a great sense of humor as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? He's a storyteller. You guys, have you ever seen the movie Big Fish?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where he tells these like fantastical stories and his son thinks he's lying, but then he like meets the characters
right.
It's kind of like that.
That's a gift in itself. Mm-hmm. being a storyteller. Yes. I mean, a good one. My grandfather was a great storyteller, and I've listened to the same stories, you know, as he got older he would repeat them, but it didn't matter. Mm-hmm. He had such a magical way of telling them in such an interesting way, and he told them with such passion and such sincerity that you could listen to him over and over again. So good on him.
Yeah.
Good on him. Now, have you had a sip of this whiskey yet?
No, but cheers.
Do you ever drink whiskey on a regular basis?
You know, I don't regularly drink whiskey.
You're what, a beer drinker?
I am. I'm really more of a beer drinker.
It's all right. This is a pot still whiskey. It's a little hot on the nose, and a lot of people. See, this is kind of almost a controversial whiskey as well, because what I call the young bourbon drinkers that are around now, what I call the mixennials. Mm-hmm. Yes, they have gone to TikTok and hate this whiskey.
Oh, really?
They think it's overrated or something, or what?
Yeah, they think it's too earthy. They think it's too grainy.
That's a good word I was going to say. It's really sweet up front, but it finishes kind of earthy, like it almost like something from the garden.
I got the sweetness. Is it stupid if I ask if you guys taste like banana?
Not at all. No, not at all.
Because I swear there's like a hint of banana.
There's a hint of banana. I pick up some honey in that as well.
Brown
a little sweetness.
Could see that.
Brown sugar at the end. Yeah. Very good, John Whitney. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little bitter, earthy finish. I mean, it's not bad, but it's...
And here's the deal. It's not an overly expensive bottle. It's just hard to find. If you're in Kentucky, you can find it rather easily. But in Ohio, which we just started getting some Willett products, they're few and far between. But it ranges for like around $49-$50 a bottle. Yeah. And it's unique. And the bottle's cool. Yes, the bottle's cool. And
I saw it for the first time in a store 2 weeks ago in years.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Now, these two bottles that I've had, I picked them up when I was in coming back up from Florida when I was taking care of mom. And I stopped in Kentucky and picked up bottles.
We went to the distillery recently. Remember I brought you back the airplane bottles that were in the same shape as this. Mm-hmm. But
shape as the pot still.
Right, the pot still
looks like.
Now, I'm curious, Dino. Cool, when you're driving back from Tampa, and you know that you got a little bit of time, how long does it really take you to drive back home? Because you're stopping about every other stop.
You know, it's amazing. I was down in Florida for 6 weeks taking care of my mom for 6 weeks. And when I left, it was heartbreaking to leave her. I was really sad. But then I was like, I took my time getting down there. But I couldn't wait to get home. So I was like pedal to the metal. And even stopping in Kentucky at two or three liquor stores, I still made it back like in 14 and a half hours.
Oh, that's good time.
So, yeah, I picked it up in Kentucky. So, yeah, I love bourbon. I love whiskey. I always have. Do you guys like this? Do you like this?
I do. I've always liked Willett. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do.
So
I think it has a sweet aftertaste.
Like, it does. I actually like the rye that's down there, and I thought about cracking the estate rye open, but maybe I'll save that for 250 or 300 or something else. There's so many bottles that I'm not a collector. Mm-hmm. I open all the bottles eventually. My philosophy is collect art, drink whiskey.
I like it.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Do you ever think of just getting two bottles, one to drink, one to hide from yourself?
Sometimes I do like we recently
you have to, right?
I already tried it once and I failed. We had a barrel selection at Watershed.
Mm-hmm.
They actually a whiskey business selection, which was kind of
cool.
Yeah, it was very cool.
They made you a barrel.
Yes,
that's awesome.
It's sitting over there. That's the second bottle because I said I'm not going to drink this one. I'm saving it. Yeah. And of course I opened it up and it's gone.
I bought two and I drank both.
That's right. Yeah. So. Then I just like, okay, what am I saving the whiskey for? Save the bottle. That's the momentum.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah.
That's the memory. Save the bottle. The whiskey, just drink it. Drink it, drink it, drink it. You grew up with music all your life, and you've played music all your life.
Mm-hmm.
You've been in bands all your life?
By loose definition of band. So like a lot of kids growing up, I was like classically trained, quote unquote. So you learn how to play classical stuff.
In like what? What were you classically trained in?
So I played piano and then sang like in choral ensembles. Mm, so right. Just, I guess, traditional, you know? Okay,
sure.
Which was fun and rewarding, I guess, as you're growing.
You
and
learn
it's, like,
how
challenging to
do it
to
kind of the right way.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely been a help to understand theory. As yeah. I'm like writing stuff, you know, for rock and roll. But so I did that
so
through college.
So you can actually write uh-huh. music. You can actually do all that.
Yeah.
Because I write music, but I don't know how to write the notes and all
yeah.
that stuff.
So I can do that on piano. I can do that with vocals. But I learned to play guitar more recently. And I still kind of, I play really by ear. And mm-hmm. I always, you know, said those people were hacks. But, you know, here I am. So
you joined the hacks.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm half hack, half. Legit, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's the best of both worlds. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. You, gives me an understanding.
Did you have proper training with your guitar playing? Please say no. because
he's heard me play before.
I heard you play.
No, but when I went to college, I found out, I was like, you could take lessons for
yeah.
credit.
Uh-huh.
So I did take, I took classical guitar from a teacher, but nice. A lot of it was spent like talking about guitar and form yeah. and different yeah. things.
So you think it's going to be like an easy A, right?
Yeah.
Right?
And I got an A, but
I did.
Yeah, but yeah, I just like learn more of like the history and like the, how to properly do shit. I don't do it, but I know how to
yeah.
do it. I know how to teach a kid how to do it the right way, yeah. but I don't do
That's
it the
something.
Right way.
Oh, I'm in the worst
I know three chords. I know three chords.
You get, well, you yeah. probably know the main ones. Right?
Yeah, EGF, I think.
Yeah.
That's all you
yeah.
need.
So you got an A in that class.
Oh, yeah. I took it like every semester except for like one or two.
Every semester? So it was like different levels of...
It was the same guy and you just...
Okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I speak Greek fluently. Yeah. I lived in Greece. I went to Ohio State and I took Greek... thinking it'd be an easy A.
Failed it.
Oh, I
shit.
Got a D.
Oh, my God.
Oh, lordy. Were you just like cocky going into it or like didn't think you needed to study?
What's the word? Lazy.
Oh.
Lazy.
Okay.
Lazy
okay.
student. If I could go back and to college, I would have been a much
Yeah, you know, we all say that, right?
Yeah.
Every adult says that about their college years. Except the ones who were like really studious. And you know what they say?
I wish they would have had more fun.
Yeah,
yes.
More fun. Yeah, you're right.
Can never get that shit back, can
you? Did you go to college?
I did.
Where'd you go?
I went to Bowling Green.
Oh, good. Great school.
Not much else to do there but party.
Yeah, I've made many a road trip to Bowling Green.
Oh, you know what else I did at Bowling Green? I figure skated. That's what my like PE credit was.
Okay.
The class of why would you take
and
class
that,
over
was that
and over?
Something that you'd always done? And then like...
So my sister's... A little bit older than me, and she kind of grew up in that like Dorothy Hamill area.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, my family was always a figure skating family. Like, they'd watch it and understand what the jumps were and what have you. So I don't know. It sounded like fun.
What was your favorite trick?
Sounded like fun.
Oh. What's the most difficult trick?
Yeah.
Triple sow cow. What?
Oh, I guess an axle is the most.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, it is.
It's a triple sow cow. It sounds awful.
That's legit. Yeah. I don't know what that is. There's the way they judge.
If somebody
the
called me a sow
like,
cow, I'd think I'd be insulted.
I think it might be named after a person, I would guess.
Probably.
So, like,
Dorothy Hamill actually did the triple sow cow.
Probably, yeah. So it's the way that they decide the jumps, if you start facing forward and end up backwards, or start backwards and end up forward, or like kick off with your toe pick. That's basically how you tell the jumps apart, but I don't know what.
Sure. Okay.
There.
Right. But you took it and you got a
I
good
did.
Grade.
Yeah, it was super fun.
And
yeah.
you could still skate.
Uh huh.
Yeah. I can't skate.
No.
Can't ice skate, can't roller skate.
Rollerblade, can you do that?
No. Are you kidding me? I tried to put on rollerblades one time and I was one of those like I went that way.
I can't do that.
I could not get enough for me.
I'm just like choppy. I look like I've got crap in my pants when
I don't even know if I've seen you ride a bike.
So you're very athletic is what I'm that's what I'm getting from this conversation.
Very athletic. Okay. Very athletic. I'm very very strong.
Yeah.
But not very athletic.
Okay. I gotcha. I feel like usually people
He'd
are
be
gonna be musical or athletic, and maybe it's because like if you're a big
I was more creative person than that.
Yeah.
Even though we've talked about it on the podcast, I wanted to play basketball. Johnny played basketball, mm-hmm. you know, because
he's tall.
He's yeah. tall. Mm-hmm. I'm not as tall as Johnny, but I wanted to play basketball. And I lived with my grandmother at the time, and she would not sign the permission slip.
Why?
I don't know. She didn't want anything bad to happen on her watch.
Okay.
My mother wasn't around, and it was just her. So she would like wouldn't sign a permission slip for me to do anything. Aww. And I had at the time, which would have been today, I had a three-pointer that just wouldn't miss.
Dang.
From the side.
All right.
It was just, yeah.
If I knew anything about sports, I would call you some sports guy.
I can't see who has too well. Is that one guy?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I do have a
Johnny three-shotter.
And a football injury. I do have a football injury in my right knee. It's a football injury.
From what?
The tailgate.
Football. Yeah.
You slipped.
That's,
drunken injury.
I went long for a beer and ran into a tree.
That happens. I have a girlfriend who broke an ankle doing that.
Right?
Yeah.
Anyway, I digress.
Yeah, what were we talking about?
We do that. We go down rabbit holes all the time. And eventually we get to the main topic, which is Trashetti.
Yeah, Trashetti.
All right. I mean, we followed a little bit of your history. And so whose idea was Trashetti?
So Trashetti's been playing for quite a long time, and there have been many different iterations of women. But this latest one's been.
Well, tell me the original, the original origin story.
Okay. So
for starters.
And my bandmate Danielle Kelly was her name, and she's now Danielle Forney. And she's been in a ton of bands. All of us have been in a ton of bands. We did the math and figured that between all of us, we've been playing music in Columbus for more than 100 years.
Wow.
So, I know. That was pretty impressive to think about.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like since a couple have been playing since the 90s, and then the other two of us have been playing since the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. So add it up. But yeah, so Danielle Kelly and I and a couple other ladies started, and all of us were in different bands, and we all played together. And usually, like, it was all guys in my band, and we would go play, like, a festival or something, and maybe there'd be 10 bands on stage through the day, and I'd be the only woman the entire day that was on the stage. It was always, like, a lot of dudes, you know, big sausage fist. So always be the lone
kind of like this podcast
and then there's me, always be the lone chick out there. So our bands would play together, and we would kind of talk like, hey, we should, you know, play a band together. So Danielle and me and another woman named Victoria, who was in a band and played bass at the time, but then shortly after she started playing bass for us, decided that she wanted to be a like a hip-hop star.
Okay.
So she's Vicky V, and she moved to Brooklyn, and she's pretty good. Check her out.
That's cool.
Yeah. I like listening to some Vicky V. And so she left the band, and we got another bass player. We had a guitar player who went by Krista Chaos, but she had to like move to San Francisco for her job. So Danielle also played guitar, and we couldn't find another guitar player. We did have a second guitar player for a while, which is when I started playing. And her strength, Krista would really freaking do these awesome riffs.
Yeah,
she was so badass. And the girl who joined was better on like theory. She's a really smart musician, wasn't necessarily one to like shred and make noise. So that's when I started playing, because that's really all I like to do on guitar. So I would kind of like, you know, play the riffy part, and she would play the song, really. She would play the chords. And so then at some point we... she was in another band, and they were getting really busy. And it was like I said, kind of rotation. So at some point,
like Kiss.
Yeah, our person who was our drummer, Danielle was our drummer. She ended up playing guitar, and we got Tira as our drummer. And Tira, Danielle was in the Rose Hips, you might have heard of. Tira was in a whole bunch of bands. So she drums for us, and she actually was one of the few female sound engineers at Little Brothers.
Okay.
So yeah, she's she did sound for a whole lot of really cool bands.
Many a night at Little Brothers.
Back in the day. Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of history. At some point, our bass player had to go somewhere. We got another bass player.
She can't even keep track.
I know, right? It's been a lot of different women have kind of like rotated through the band, but the latest iteration has been.
So how many years has this been from its origin to where we are to
that's
today?
A good question.
How many years has Trashetti in some way, shape, or form existed?
I'm going to guess like 10 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a huge amount.
No.
But the way you tell it, it sounds like for the last 30 years, right? Trashetti has gone through so many incarnations.
No, we've all been in different bands over 20 to 30 years, but Trash Daddy's been around about 10, and then the current iteration, probably 4 years.
Who named it?
That's another good question. I think we were all just kind of like riffing on words. Yeah. You know, it was like, riff on the word rock, riff on the word trash, whatever, and somehow somebody's like, the Trashettes, and somebody's like, Trashetti.
Like, yeah, that's better.
Like machete, like better. Trash.
Like machete, yeah. Yeah. That's how you explained it to me. Trashetti, yeah. Like machete. And I went, oh,
is that
okay.
How you spell it?
And, yes.
Yeah, is okay. There stuff on, is there music online?
Yeah, you can go on to SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/Trashetti. Mm-hmm.
Look some up.
Like cool. Machete, but trash.
Yeah, so, and it's all original music.
That is
so
correct.
So do you collectively write the music, or is that you?
We do. Yeah, we collectively write. Usually I write the lyrics, but not all the time. But just, you know, as a singer, this, you tend to be the person who's like doing that part, right?
And where do so, the, where do the, where does the inspiration for the songs come from? What are the some of the theme of some of the
so
of the
music? A big theme throughout a lot of our music is feminism.
Yeah.
Sometimes more overtly, but sometimes just in calling out shit that like we've realized that we've gone through, I guess. In terms of like, man, we've all been with a partner, a guy who, you know, did this, and that's pretty typical. And like, why do we deal with that, or why do mm-hmm. we have to do that? So
yeah, this one, yeah. Trashetti Walk Away.
Uh-huh.
Like the most recent.
Oh, here you go.
So that's you on guitar? Rocking.
No, I don't play guitar. No.
It's really good. Is that you? No, it's
right?
not.
I think on SoundCloud, try
All right. It's cool. It reminds me of...
Is that as loud as you can crank it? There you go.
Oh, that's loud.
There you go. Yeah, it's good.
What's the is that you singing? Carrie Brownstone.
Oh, Slater Kinney?
Yeah, it's where my jam.
Is that you singing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so I can yeah. hear I can hear yeah. I can hear
which I love hate
I can hear a guttural passion in there.
Yeah.
You believe in what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
Believe in what you're singing.
Yeah.
You're delivering the message.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So would you call it kind of a punk? You kind of a punk?
Yeah, kind of like garage band yeah. sort of punk. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. How many songs? Four? More than four?
I think there's maybe four on there. We've got a few additional songs.
There's a bunch.
We did.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think some might be versions. We did Broad and High. We recorded mm-hmm. a video, and I think there's three new songs on that one. So if cool. you Google Broad and High, Trashetti,
okay.
you can see some live performance okay. video.
That's where I've heard your name. I watch Broad and High all the time.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I read the credits.
So were you like, yeah. hey, look at this band. They're all moms.
Yeah, yeah, they are all moms. Was that a happy accident, or was that on purpose?
I mean, all of us became moms on purpose. None of us were moms when we started the band.
Okay.
So
that's what I didn't know. I didn't know if like it was moms that decided to put a band together, but you just all became moms while you're in
no,
the band.
No, it was more like the young kind of like punk female musicians right, playing right. around and decided to put a band together, and over the years we've become moms. Tira and Melanie, who both joined the later iterations of band, they had kids when they joined, but you know.
And I'm curious, when you go back to those early days when you were just, you know, not a mom mm-hmm. and in the band, and then
right?
you become a mom in uh-huh. the band, did that change your mindset, your scope, and your thought process and the music that you write? And this is a multi-layered question.
Uh-huh.
And did it change also where your thoughts were in respects to feminism and so forth and so on? I
yes.
would imagine as that all comes filtering in
uh-huh.
that there have to be some significant impact on what you write.
Having yeah. a daughter, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question, because we didn't start out with any kind of goal of being like, you know, feminist or femme forward. It just kind of over time and like with different things happening in the political world, it sort of evolved that way as we were just, you know, singing about the things that were on our mind or the things mm-hmm. that we were, you know, affected by, or just talking about it at practice and mm-hmm. kind of riffing. It sort of has evolved into that. We didn't start necessarily that way, I would say.
So when the Me Too movement was at its peak and
yeah.
strong, and you know, where was Trashetti at that point? And was the music echoing that movement as well?
Yeah, totally. We one of the songs on Broad and High is called A Million Women Strong, that was inspired by the march on Washington. Mm-hmm. So that was maybe our first like just decidedly feminist song. You know, the first one that was kind of specifically about the feminist movement. Like I said, a lot of the others are just about experiences that kind of you go through and think like, oh, a lot of women probably go through this, and it's probably pretty unique to women, you know, dealing with this. So, yeah, which ends up being a lot about relationships or about interactions, things like that. So it's not overtly feminist, just about, you know.
Your perspective on things.
I've met very strong feminists and women who claim to be feminists, and, mm-hmm. and then women who just think that men suck overall, okay. just in general. And it, I mean, very cold and calculated, mm-hmm. and they call themselves feminists as well.
Okay.
So I'm always curious about that. You know, you're married, happily mm-hmm. married, got mm-hmm. a beautiful daughter.
Yeah.
And
to an evolved husband who didn't feel like,
okay,
and so I'm forced you to take
so
his
what's
name.
The yeah. question?
I have to take his evolved, name or he's not a
what
man.
Is it, what is an evolved man? What is an evolved husband? What is an evolved man in that world so or in this world? What's the definition of that? It's got to be different for every guy because every yeah. guy's in a different place.
I would guess it would be different to me when I say that in reference to him. It's that he didn't feel beholden to tradition,
mm-hmm.
you know, that it's manly. You have to take my name to, you know, you're the woman, I'm the man. Mm-hmm. He just felt like we're people and we can do what feels right to us. And he's always very, I feel like he kind of sees things how they are. He's good about doing that. So whether it's whatever kind of equality it is, I feel like he's just very good at looking at people as people and, you know, not feeling like he has to be on a certain road, I guess.
Right, right, right. How old were you guys when you got married, if you mind me asking?
So
we don't have to do the math.
I think I was 28 and he was 30 when okay. we met. And so maybe I was like 31.
Fair enough. Hmm. Yeah, because from
or 32?
I got married when I was 25, and 25 to 32. It's a life difference.
Yes. I got married when I was young, and when I heard you got married at 25, I'm like, wow, that's young.
Yeah.
I got married when I was 21.
Uh huh, that's young.
Yeah, that's real young. Yeah.
I was 28.
Yeah. You were like, 28.
How do you even know who you are?
You don't.
Exactly.
You don't know who you are.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
No, I've always said that your 20s are just like, you're still, you know, as soon as you turn 21, I'm an adult. I know it.
Right.
No, you don't. You don't know shit.
Uh-huh.
You don't know shit in your 20s. You're still going to school.
Yeah.
School life in a big way.
Yeah.
Right around the 30s, though, I think you start to mold and shape and identify right. yourself, who you are, what you are, where
yes.
you're going.
Yeah.
And then what? And that's a great 10 years of development. And then you get to the 40s where you start doubting everything again.
Right. Where you start getting world weary and miserable.
Yeah, right.
Maybe I do like black licorice.
Am I doing the right thing? Am I with the right person? Doing the right job? Did I make the right choices?
Yeah, I might have had a couple of those thoughts in my earlier 40s, I'm approaching mid-40s and feeling good about
it. Oh, well, tell you, then, you know, wait till you get to the fucking 50s. You'll love
okay,
it.
Okay, okay.
Ah, fuck it. Fuck it.
Nice.
Yeah, and the don't, and then the, which just leads into the don't give a shit 60s.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You have nothing but wonderful years.
Gotta love seniors who don't give a shit.
The best. Seniors who don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Technically, I am a senior citizen.
Oh.
Well, hell yeah.
Fuck.
Do you get discounts?
You know what? I do, and I never use them. And I forget about them all the time because I don't think of myself.
What is that thing that they come in all the time? Is it a card?
The AARP.
The Golden Buckeye.
Well, I did because I sent no to it like 1,000 times.
I keep looking at it, and I'm like, no, I'm not old enough yet.
Yeah. And then 1 year I caved. I said, well, and then 1 year I went, oh, that's a really nice duffel bag. What the hell?
I almost broke
that
last
month. That
was
when you officially reached the don't give a shit.
I did. And then I re-signed. I re-upped again when they had a carrier that you could put in the back seat to put stuff in there.
That's very adult of you.
Your newspapers.
Now we got them. We know exactly what to send.
I got the carrier. I have jumper cables in one section. I have like a first aid kit in the middle section.
Oh, very prepared.
And I have what I call trunk whiskey in the third one.
Oh, good.
Thank God. Emergency whiskey.
In case of emergency, break glass bottle.
Yeah.
You know, right? Mm-hmm. You've been to somebody, oh, man, we're out of whiskey. No, we're not.
Right.
I go to the trunk and then always have the
what was the AARP discount for that trunk whiskey? Anything?
No, nothing. No discount on the whiskey.
But there's
like discounts galore. I've never paid attention to it.
Yeah.
I only signed.
Can I rent a car with your name? I need to rent a car this summer.
Yeah, I only signed up to get the duffel bag.
Hey.
Oh God! But you have that to look forward to.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah, right? I'm pretty excited. That's awesome. Yeah.
Do you worry about age? Because you when just in the short amount of conversation that we had the night at Randy's, you just seem like that doesn't define you or deny you as well.
Right. Yeah. I think so. That's kind of part of, you know, us ladies being in a band. A lot of people, when they, you know, have a family, they feel like, well, it's time to give up the band. But like, why? You don't have to. It's your hobby. You know, it's something fun you do for yourself. Like, why should you have to give it up just to have a family? So,
well, I guess that's my question. Is it just a hobby or do you have dreams of grandeur in respect to Trash Eddy?
No, know? I mean, I don't think we're going to like...
traveling and touring. And,
yeah, no, I don't think we're going to go on tour and get signed and all this stuff. I mean,
what if you did, though?
We have mortgages and whatever.
What if that happened?
I mean, if they paid us enough
what to if like, that happened?
Pay the bills without the day job, then
What if one of those songs that you, all those many songs you've written hit?
Suddenly made $1 million, got a license for like a movie or something. Yeah, I'd go on tour. Like, we could bring the kids.
Would you dump all this?
That'd
would
be
you
fun.
Take this? Would you tear up the card and you go? Because this seems like you're very passionate and serious about this.
I can work
as
remotely
well.
Too, though.
Ah, all
right. Well, that's some heavy card stock right there. You put some in.
I know. It's got
that's how you know somebody's sticking around for a minute. Uh-huh.
It's got a satin coating.
It's like waxy. Satin coating is what
that
is. Yeah,
you know why? I hate to touch paper. Like, it feels like gritty on my finger or dusty or something, you know. Do you guys have ever get
know,
that
I
feel from
I love paper?
Paper
I have all kinds of paper.
I hardly ever write by hand. Like, I'll go to a meeting with my laptop and
we were talking about this.
I can't
look over there, see that?
Oh
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, there's tons of them in
that's
this
very
house.
Cool.
Not very cool. I use it.
Oh, okay.
There's one in that room too. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them upstairs. And there's like another 8 in the closet.
Okay, so do you have whiteout or is that the type that had like the corrector tape?
No, that doesn't have the corrector tape. I don't worry about the whiteout because anything. I just do the drafts on that, so I don't care about the typos. Like, eventually, I will go to the computer.
So when you're doing a draft, are you like, blah, blah, blah? I mean, whiskey bar.
Yeah, whatever. I just,
okay.
I don't worry about correcting it. I just write it.
Okay.
Made him crazy. When we were the last film we worked together, when I said I was writing dialogue for the film,
are like, here you go.
Oh no, he was cutting
this
pasting.
This is the only copy.
His changes onto the script like he was in a high school newspaper.
Uh huh. Like literal.
cutting paste.
Like the olden days.
That's right.
Or like a ransom note.
Either. First time he sent it, he handed it over. I looked at it and I go, what the fuck is this?
It looked like somebody insane.
Like a ransom note, okay?
Yeah.
Right? We've talked about that. I've been in like jobs before. So in marketing, you like print brochures and whatever. And I've, you know, done tours of presses and all kinds of whatever. And usually it's digital now. Mm-hmm. But there's, you know, a lot of times where it's actually like printing ink on paper, and somebody will always bring up, can you imagine back in the day we had to cut out the letters and like set them on the thing?
Yes, I can. I can't imagine back in
you
the
prefer.
Day. You have a creative process, do you not?
Mm-hmm.
What's your process?
So I do it in my head, kind of like if I'm writing a song, for instance, I'll just almost like... meditate's the wrong word, but just be in a quiet place, which a lot of times is driving.
Which comes first, the melody or the lyric?
It depends. Sometimes one, sometimes the other, and sometimes whatever cool idea, like maybe it's a guitar riff or something, that'll kind of come into my head and I'll think about that. And often, like I have, hundreds and voice notes on here where I might just like hum something, like hum a guitar riff.
I do that.
Yeah. So I'll build on that later. And then so any part, whatever comes to mind can be inspiring to, you know, finish a song.
Do you ever write notes and then like don't know what the hell they mean? The next day?
Yeah, I
do that all the time. But yeah.
Or I'll sing a part and I listen to it later and I'm like, was I stoned or something? Yeah, like, what the hell?
I'll put down a little. I still kind of mess around and write music, but I sent you some old music. Remember when I said
You found
I found the basement tapes from like my 20s. That was nice. My 20s were my prolific.
Of course.
20 to 34 was my prolific decade of writing.
Yeah.
We talked about re-recording them.
What kind of music do you write? I have multiple part question. What kind of music do you write now when you're just tooling around? And is it similar or the same or evolved from what you used to write?
The theme, apparently I had a lot of angst in my 20s. I had a lot of romantic sorrow in my 20s. Uh-huh, so a lot of the songs reflected that. Then there was a period of time where there was some storytelling songs, one called Darkness of the Moon, that told stories about three people and the different courses of their lives. All we huddle close together in the darkness of the moon, smoke our cigarettes and listen to some tunes.
Rhymes.
Nice imagery.
And it told the story about these three different people who went three different directions. And then I wrote a country song about poker.
Poker. And you did one of Corona too or something.
Oh, yeah, that was just for fun. But the country song about poker, All In, I think in the right hands of some country star.
Take it down to Nashville.
Could be a thing.
Could be a hit.
Flourish.
Nice. It depends on my mood.
Podcast on the road.
Depends on my mood. I've wrote a song about my daughter. And I wrote that when she was like 5 years old. And I always said that if she got married, I would play it at her wedding.
Aww.
But I doubt that I could get through it.
How old is she now?
She's 40.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She's 40, and she's not married yet. She's had the current boyfriend. Mm-hmm. You'll go through this, especially with your daughter.
Okay.
You'll go through this. This is the first boyfriend I've liked in like...
Oh, well, congratulations.
15 years.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. I like that. Yeah.
Fingers crossed. You'll get to sing that song sometime.
Yeah, I'm hoping...
or not, if maybe they just want to be partners. That's cool, too.
That's fine, too. I said, you know, up to this point, the best man in her life was her gay friend, Mike. And I said, you know what? If you and Mike got married, you'd have my complete and total blessing because out of all the men in your life in the last 20 years, that's the one that stood by you and never left you. And when things were hard, he was there. So he was, you know, I love that kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I said, if you ended up marrying Mike, I'd be fine with it. You know, if you don't want any kids, okay, that's not an issue.
Right.
You know, unless you want to adopt, whatever.
It's a partnership.
I'm just saying, my daughter's a very strong, forward thinking. She went to New York when she was in college. One semester at Audubon, and then up to New York, and then she became a New Yorker. She stayed there, and good and bad, she's developed kind of a very tough code of cynicism that happens by living in New York, which I think you need just to survive up there.
Yeah, like the hard candy shell.
Yeah, she's got the hard candy shell, but she's also, much like you, a very talented musician. She writes great music.
She does have some cool songs.
She's written some fucking awesome songs. I was going to ask about the tattoos.
Yeah.
Because I want one. Still haven't gotten one.
Get one. What's stopping you?
Nothing. Just, once again, motivation and
I would have a lot more if two things. If I were a much quicker decision maker.
Right.
And if they were less expensive.
All I want is the chemical equation for whiskey.
Okay.
Okay.
That's all.
Sounds easy.
It sounds real easy. Yeah. I just want it to look cool. Mm-hmm. And my daughter says, come to New York. And she's got a guy that would do it because my daughter's all tatted up.
Cool.
That's a long way to go for a tattoo.
I know, but it's New York. I can visit my daughter and get a tattoo.
Yeah, maybe it's more like a commemorative, you know, people get, I don't know, mugs, spoons, whatever the hell you get.
She's more tatted up than
magnets, the shape of the state.
Or a jailhouse tattoo.
She's more tatted up than I realized. Because she got her first tattoo when she was like, I think like, 15 or 16 years old.
Oh, how'd she get that?
Her mom let her get it.
Oh.
Her mom signed off on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they would even
I know.
Do it. They must have said she was 17.
Something. Or there was something. Maybe she was 17, but
Yeah. So my daughter, she wanted to get her ears pierced this past weekend. And like, you know, you can go to Claire's at the mall, like the rite of passage of every young girl. Right. And I thought, well, we should probably go to like a piercing studio instead of going to trust a teenager with a gun. Piercing gun.
It's Spencer's.
Right. So I did look up, I think Evolved. I looked up and it was like, yes, we will do minors, but you have to have, and they listed all the documentation to prove that you're the legal parent. And you have to.
I'll go to Claire's.
It sounds like a pain in the ass. So we ended up at Claire's.
My ex-wife must have done that because my ex-wife had tattoos as well, so she, you know, sure, I got mine when I was whatever age, you can get yours. And I just remember flipping out, and I saw it for the first time down in Florida when she reached up in the cabinet in my sister's house, and she reached up in her and her shirt went up just a little bit, it was hidden, and I go, what the hell is that? You're gonna have a lot of what the hell is that moments.
I might not.
Well, what type of
with tattoos,
what type of daughter is Lola?
Like the best type, I guess. Right? She's just super. I mean, funny. She's seven.
She's seven, but
so first grade, kindergarten. Yeah, she'll be graduating first grade.
You see that. Yes. You can. It's interesting. You see what they're going to be, and or at least what path they could go on. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I've noticed this: they get diverted and they go different directions.
Influence of friends or family,
a life in general. There's a lot of things that can move them down different paths. But right
probably
now,
true for all of us.
You're seeing something. You're seeing. Oh God, I hope she's this way all the time.
Yes. Oh, she's so great. She's just so sweet and loving and just kind. You know, she's actually kind to other kids when a lot of other kids are just kids are assholes.
That's huge right now.
Kids are shitty.
That's huge. That's huge. Right? To have compassion and empathy. Something that is, I think, continues to be lost in this world.
Yeah. Dying art.
Yeah, truly. Truly. Yeah. I've told him 1,000 times. It saddens me to see the amount of empathy that continues to just drain away in this world.
Yeah.
It frightens me and it distresses me. Mm-hmm. And I try to.
Why I don't get on social media as much as I used to.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So let me talk. Let's wrap up.
Yeah, we sound like a bunch of cranky old fuckers.
Yeah,
these kids on social media.
No, that's just it, though. Whatever, boomer. I get it.
Boomer.
Fucking
hate are you that. A boomer?
I'm a boomer. Of course I'm a boomer. I have an AARP duffel bag. What the hell? Yes, I'm a boomer. Are you kidding me? Actually, yes.
Okay, well, you're cooler than the average boomer.
Yeah, I think I am. There ought to be like a level of boomer.
In between,
your boomer light.
Yeah, because isn't
boomer light?
How many years? Like how many years spans the boomer? Know what I mean?
44 to 64.
It's the most generous of
the widest gap.
Yeah, because I was born in 1959.
Yeah, okay. Because it was after World War II when the baby boom happened. So it was like 46 to 62.
Or exactly, 46 to 64. Quick Google search has revealed.
I don't think myself as a boomer. I was born in 64. Late 60s.
And the same with me is that they say I'm a millennial, but I don't fear it.
You always like push over to the next one.
So does it go boomer and then Gen X, or is there anything in between?
No, but it was boomer then
Gen X, then millennial, then Gen Z.
Oh,
Gen Z.
And I'm a millennial, but I.
But you hang around with a boomer,
but I equate more with Gen X or boomers.
You got a boomer soul.
That's
right. I'm Gen X, but I have the worst memory, so I don't remember much before like a certain time. So sometimes I feel more like a millennial because I don't remember not having technology. You know,
right.
Like I remember, like I mentioned, the typewriter having. I kind of remember like typewriters and things, but yeah, just I don't know, being able to email at least.
Yeah.
I.
So you never worked a typewriter? You never.
I did, yeah, but I had like a word processor.
Not the same.
It was like the predecessor to the computer. I know.
There's a joy into slowly tapping out the letters, and the thought process is slower, and you take your time. Whenever I write on the computer, I tend to write faster, but not necessarily better.
I kind of feel like I remember, so I did have to take typing class, or maybe like, I think I had an old typewriter of my mom's or something that I would practice on, but I liked the percussion of it.
Right.
It's typing as fast as I can, it makes a lot of noise.
Yeah, there's a beautiful rhythm to it. It's a romantic thing. Like, you know, like, you said you don't like paper. Oh, no. I like paper, I like books, I like pages.
It's just, it's tactile.
It's tactile, it's very tactile. So, okay, interesting. Yeah. Interesting note.
My sister's the same way. Neither of us can like stand to touch paper. And like the like coded paper, like the business card, that's fine. Right. Like a glossy magazine. That's okay. Cool. But like the more uncoated it gets, so like the bottom of the coding scale would be like a paper bag or like a newsprint. Yeah. You know that, like
they freak out about that?
Oh, it almost feels like dusty.
But it doesn't apply to tissues or toilet paper.
No.
My wife's the same way with cotton balls.
Yeah, a lot of people say cotton balls. Cotton. Like you know how nails on a chalkboard makes you feel? Like
right.
That's how touching paper makes me feel. It's the thought of it.
Interesting.
My sister and my daughter, same.
So your daughter has developed.
Must be genetic.
Yeah.
Yeah, or the influence. Is it learned? Yeah.
Yeah. That can happen too. Mm-hmm. So where's Trash Eddie? Where's Trash Eddie right now? Where's Trash Eddie right now in the music world? I mean, are you gigging?
Yeah.
What'd you do during COVID?
Okay, so COVID sucked for everybody, and I feel like it drained my creativity. Like I don't think I've honestly written a whole song since COVID. And prior to that, I would write.
Dude, I'm with you, man.
Yeah, I would write all the time. Like, I would, if I didn't write a full song necessarily, I'd have at least an idea that I recorded every week. But yeah, just kind of like, I don't know. Everybody was in a COVID funk, right?
No.
Which is how I ended up joining the cover band, because Trash Eddie did not play.
Thank you. I was going to bring up the cover band before we left.
Yeah.
Because you say it with not disdain, but...
Oh, no.
No, you like being in the cover band.
I've always been super hipster about like, I don't play covers. I don't play originals unless it's a deep cut in the style of my original band. But I've just always been super hipster. I don't know why.
That's
just it. I don't know. But, you know, covers are fun. But so, yeah, Trash Lady did not play because one of my bandmates in particular, she's a teacher, had to be around the kids, was just very COVID careful, you know. So we didn't even practice. We practiced a couple times outdoors, but we were just, you know, we weren't gigging, weren't being around a lot of people. And it was just killing me not to play music. I didn't even realize until somebody I knew from high school called and was like, hey, do you want to join my cover band? And he asked if I wanted to play keys, which... made me go like, oh yeah, this guy doesn't even know me from the last 10 years. He's like, I haven't played keys in a band since circa, I don't know, 2008 or something.
I haven't heard anybody use the word circa either.
Never?
No, in about 10 or 20 years.
Oh, it's a good word.
It's a good word. Circa.
Yeah, approx. But anyway, yeah, so he asked if I want to be in the cover band, and I was like, shit, yeah, that's exactly what I fucking want. I've been missing playing music so much. Yes, I'll be in your cover band. So
you're in both bands right now?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What's the cover band's name?
It's called Vandalay Industries.
Yeah.
Sounds like you understand the reference.
Seinfeld, is it?
Seinfeld.
Yes, Seinfeld. Yes. Yeah. So it's 90s rock.
Okay, cool.
But Trash Eddie, we are starting to gig again. And we're playing at ComFest this year, which I'm very excited about.
That's awesome.
Yes, 9 p.m. on the Bozo stage.
Okay, so prime time.
Yeah, prime time. June 24th, I think.
ComFest is good. That's
yeah, we played ComFest many years before.
Yeah, mark it down. ComFest is going to be huge this year.
I know.
Yeah, huge.
For several years.
Yeah, we've played the main stage before. We've played during the day before. We've played during the night before on the off-ramp stage, but we've never played at night on the main stage.
Nice. That's cool.
We're pretty excited, yeah.
Yeah, you should be.
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome. How long of a show?
I think 35 minutes.
35 minutes.
Yeah.
So you're going to play the hits?
Yeah. playing all the hits.
No covers.
All the hits.
Yeah. No, actually, we're just doing straight up covers.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
No, you're not.
No, we're not doing any covers.
No, you're not.
We might do a cover.
So how often do you guys get together and practice or rehearse or jam, whatever you want to call it?
Yeah, so usually...
I don't know. I mean, I don't know when a band gets... How often does a band... it's, you know, can you imagine if we didn't do radio every day? We'd be stale. Yet the band's got to get together and do something every once in a while.
Oh, yeah. We try for once a week and, you know, shit gets in the way, family shit, COVID shit. Somebody has COVID right now. All that. So we try for once a week. So it's... Once a week, once every other week.
Yeah, you got to keep everything loose and smooth and oiled.
Yeah, we were a little rusty after that couple year break from COVID.
Oh, all right, so I mean we're recording this podcast on the last day of May. So when this comes out next week, there'll be plenty of time for people to know that Trashetti is going to be at ComFest.
Yes.
What else can they find out where Trashetti is if they wanted to check out the music like we're going to, and we're going to include some. In our podcast,
you can follow
us
on the socials. So you can go to facebook.com/Trashetti or soundcloud.com/Trashetti.
Is it spelled like machete?
Trash. T-R-A-C-H-E-T-E.
Okay.
Yeah, follow us on Facebook. That's the quickest place to put shows.
Pretty cool. Thanks.
Yeah.
I hope you had fun. Hope you enjoyed the whiskey. The guest bottle has been the...
this is good.
The Willett... Pot still,
it's
bourbon.
I decided I really like it.
You really like it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what? I've always noticed that no matter what the whiskey is, after really a couple like sips, you really like it.
Mm-hmm. You really like it. It's an easy day.
He likes it. He really likes
it. Fuck those guys with beards and weird mustaches that don't like this shit.
The McSennials?
I almost get it.
What is that
called? The McSennials?
Yeah, explain the whole...
They're millennials who think they know bourbon. So I call them Mixennials because they don't know what they're.
They got these mustaches
And do they call themselves mixologists?
No, they don't. I totally call them the Mixennials.
Okay.
It's too earthy. It's too
earthy.
Grainy.
Shut
up and drink it.
It tastes like a beet.
I think people who call themselves mixologists are kind of cheesy.
Yeah. There's a difference of opinion there.
That's
it's
cool.
Like it's yeah because
you guys
we
all
have,
just went no simultaneously
because we have some cute. People that we have some bartender friends that that like to be called bartenders you know and that's what I do. I make whiskeys. I just happen because now the craft cocktail craze is so crazy that people call me a mixologist, and there's some people that like the elevated status of mixologist. I guess it all depends on where you're at in life and how you want to feel, you know.
They want to feel fancy.
Yeah, you want to feel better about yourself. Yeah. I'm a mixologist. Here's the good luck in the future. Good luck
Thank
with Lola.
You.
And good luck with your husband's new, what'd you call it in the text message? Solopreneur.
Yeah.
Solopreneur.
Yeah.
Cool word.
Well, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully it'll
be a character in Star Wars.
I think so.
I like it.
Solopreneur.
Star Wars.
They were talking Star Wars before you got here.
That should be a thing. Like a... you know, like a spoof movie or like a maybe not even spoof.
Han Solo.
Yeah. I feel like Ben Stiller could produce that.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Continued success. Yeah. Thank you for being here on our 200th bottle. Our guest has been Amy Belwanzo. The band is Woo-hoo! Trashetti. The cover band is Vandalay Industries.
Yes. We'll be at Park Street Tavern in a couple of weeks.
Who's gigging more, Vandalay or Trashetti?
Vandalay.
Yeah, because people want to hear the covers.
You probably get a paycheck from that.
Probably.
Early.
Yeah,
it is. So they gave me money at the end. I was like, what?
What? To pay to do this?
Oh?
How unusual.
I know.
That's all right. As long as you're doing what you love and love what you do, right?
Exactly.
That's why we do the podcast. We're not getting rich doing this podcast. In fact, it's costing us money.
That's right.
So
pay the woman.
It's a hobby. I always say, you know, I like to snowboard a lot, and nobody's paying me. I sure am paying a lot to get on that lift.
I understand. So.
It's worth it.
Yeah, I'm not going to get it from here. I'm sorry, but thank you so much again. The guest bottle, the Willett pot good. Still bourbon. Can't do the podcast without Greg Hansberry on the audio side. John Whitney, there's the big thumb on the video side. Amy Belwanzo on the guest side. I am your host, Dino Tripodis. Until Bottle 201, see ya.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.